So we're live. Hello, everyone. I have Ryan Palmer with me today, who is one of the co-founders of London Sock Company. And I've been really excited about this interview because they're doing great things. And I know that there's lots and lots of really insightful sort of marketing and business growth insights that Ryan is going to share. But Ryan, before we crack on with the questions, I'd love you to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about London Sock Company, and then I think we can, the first question, and maybe we can just go into this, is we were just talking before hand about the slight restructure in your business and what your role is, and I'd love you to sort of talk through that as well. That'd be fab.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having me. It's really nice to be here. So I'm Ryan, one of the co-founders of London Sock Company. So I had a bit of a, I think probably for a lot of, you know, kind of entrepreneurs, I had a corporate life beforehand, you know, working for a tech consultancy company. Was always really about trying to learn as much as I could about big business. You know, I've always had an entrepreneurial side, you know, I've had some side hustles in the past. And was really kind of just excited to start brainstorming and, you know, kind of thinking of ideas with a really good friend and colleague at the time. You know, we were really inspired by this, this subscription wave that was coming in from the US, you know, kind of just really disrupting, you know, kind of the e-commerce market, which was really booming. And even just the way that kind of, you know, kind of consumer behavior and kind of the way that brands were trying to acquire new customers and that experience. And, you know, we were working in that kind of corporate world, you know, the sea of monotone where everyone's wearing, you know, the same color of, you know, trousers and suits and shoes. And, you know, we could really feel kind of guys like crying out for an opportunity to kind of express themselves and their personality and their individuality. And, you know, ties were dying, you know, less, you know, guys were really kind of using ties. And, you know, we just really saw an opportunity to kind of create a brand, you know, that would really kind of be known for style, you know, that would really kind of help guys kind of get noticed for the right reasons. What was a very fragmented market, I mean, socks, you know, most brands sell socks, yet, you know, it isn't a focus, you know, kind of for most brands. They're not thinking about the quality, the craftsmanship, the attention to detail, you know, that overall customer experience from that category. It's always just been a bit of a till purchase or a margin kind of earner. So, you know, we really saw a huge opportunity to kind of create something which, you know, could become, you know, the kind of premium, you know, kind of category leader for, you know, for socks. So yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of background. You know, here we are 7 years later. You know, we ship, you know, kind of, well, we have a million socks this year, you know, to over, you know, 80 different countries. UK is our biggest market, you know, followed by the US. And we've got a fantastic team kind of based in London, all doing lots of exciting stuff.
That's amazing. And so what percentage of the business is subscription?
So subscription is actually a relatively small part of subscription. Yeah, so we've got kind of three core kind of drivers. So our kind of main revenue driver is just traditional e-com. So that's about, you know, kind of, 75%, you know, of our revenues. Then we've got about 10%, you know, through subscription. And then we've got about, you know, kind of the rest, kind of, you know, 15% through wholesale. So that's kind of partnering with, wholesaling with the likes of Harrods and, you know, kind of, you know, Fortnum & Mason, Mr. Porter, Matches Fashion, you know, kind of, et cetera.
Wow. All the great brands. So there's quite, you've done a lot then in 7 years, because you're telling me you've got these different channels and you're in 80 countries. I suppose, I don't know, the way the world's going has made those that probably so much easier. And so I was going to ask you actually, but then I actually think I do know this. You don't use Shopify, do you? Have you got your own platform?
No, yeah, we don't. We use kind of WooCommerce and WordPress. So we're actually just going through a web refresh project at the moment. And we were kind of exploring Shopify, and, you know, we came really close. Like, it's, you know, Shopify is a great solution, you know, kind of, especially if you're looking at Shopify Plus, which is what we would, you know, it's the more bespoke Shopify solution. But just because we've got so much stuff that's kind of built on WordPress and WooCommerce already, it was just a kind of a clincher for us to kind of stay on the platform that we are and recreate instead of transitioning over to Shopify.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's a big, having to move everything over, I imagine, is a really big challenge. But anyway, that's kind of like a bizarre, just a random question that I was interested to ask you. But what I'd love to know, so Ryan, you were telling me recently that you restructured the business. And so what's your role? It's around brand, is that correct? I'd love to understand a bit more about, you know, why that's important and what you're doing.
Yeah, so I mean, previously the business had just evolved, you know, as you know, kind of our growth was accelerating, and you know, new people were joining, and you know, we'd become quite a kind of siloed, you know, kind of business where you know we had, you know, a marketing function and a technology function, and you know, product development function, operations function, as you would expect for businesses that are, you know, significantly bigger, you know, than we are. And for us, it was really just kind of focusing on what are the two most important elements of success in terms of, you know, how do we actually kind of achieve what we're trying to achieve? And, you know, kind of we really kind of came up with actually, you know, there's two main hubs, there's two main parts of this. There's one which is all about, you know, brand, which is about creating opportunities. So whether that's, you know, creating, you know, opportunities through new product categories or new products or campaigns or partnerships or press opportunities. It's about creating ammunition, creating something that your customers are really going to engage with, are going to want. And then on the other side, you've got your kind of commerce and your trade, which is, you know, effectively how you then take that and go to market. So that would be everything from, you know, kind of your e-commerce, from supply chain, you know, from our wholesale as well, which we kind of put in there as a kind of trade area. And also our performance growth as well, like our performance marketing, you know, which, you know, the two parts of the business are totally interdependent, but they operate at a slightly different beat. And ultimately, you know, on the trade and commerce side, they can't acquire customers. They can't execute a really successful sales funnel without the right ammunition. And it's the brand side that's responsible for kind of creating that ammunition, for really kind of staying true to the core brand values, and then making sure that it's providing as much ammunition as possible, you know, for the trade and commerce side to then go knock it out of the park and really be monitoring and analyzing, you know, kind of the data, the results that's then fed back into the brand team to help improve and kind of, you know, make sure that what we're creating is really working well for both the sales funnel, but also for the customers.
Yeah, I love that. That sounds like a fantastic way to work it. And so I'm interested to understand, what is it, I always say to my clients, you know, you need to differentiate yourself in a crowded market because there's loads of people that are selling similar products and services. And, you know, so how is it, what do you do as a business that helps you differentiate your brand and allows you to stand out in a crowded market?
Yeah. I mean, it's a really important question. And I think, you know, when you kind of think about strategy, you know, really there's only, you know, there's a handful of kind of strategic options, and it's either really about, you know, cost or it's about differentiation. You know, we're certainly not kind of going down the cost route. It is about differentiation. And, you know, for us, it's really about the experience that we're providing to our customers. You know, kind of ultimately it's about, you know, kind of being an authority in the category. It's about, you know, kind of creating a brand where, you know, we can solve all of the problems for all of our customer needs. We're an educator, you know, we're a kind of a trend leader. And the experience, the intimacy that we want to have with our customers is really at the heart of that. And I think our kind of focus on that kind of customer experience and making sure that we're really kind of thinking about our customers first and, you know, really kind of thinking about the purpose of the brand, which is really about inspiring optimism, you know, about inspiring confidence and self-belief through something as simple as socks. You know, it kind of might sound ridiculous, but, you know, we genuinely believe as a brand that, you know, socks have an ability. It's one of the first things you do in the morning. You wake up and you get out of bed and you kind of, you pull your socks up. And, you know, there's a moment there where, you know, we kind of feel that, you know, socks can have an opportunity not just to have an impact on your style, but also in your state of mind. So, you know, thinking about that, the heart of everything we do, and making sure that, you know, we're really kind of focused on, you know, kind of creating and trying to create that experience for our customers is certainly kind of one of the areas of our differentiation, as including obviously the kind of quality of the products that we're creating.
I love that though, because you're right, you know, it is one of the first things you do, and it's a small little thing, but as you said, it can make a real difference, can't it? And also to see like a little pop of color, or like it does also, it helps you. It's something that's individual about you, isn't it? Your socks. And as you said, especially in, you know, in, I know maybe not so much now with COVID and the pandemic, but, you know, in the past, it did allow people to sort of express themselves in a different way. And it still does. So something you mentioned there, which is another big thing of saying that I'm, you know, very keen on, is the customer journey. It feels to me like that's something that obviously, you know, is incredibly important to you, putting the customer at the forefront of everything you do. So talk to me a bit about the customer journey and how you inject your brand into the customer journey at every touch point. And what are the little touches that you do that you think really helps that process?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no silver bullet, right? There's no kind of magic ingredient that will make a customer journey successful. I think it's really about, you know, kind of thinking about, you know, your funnel, right? And it's about the different stages in a kind of customer journey from, you know, that initial engagement of someone that's never heard about your brand before, you know, right through to that, you know, okay, consideration phase, through the purchase phase, through to, you know, kind of the advocacy, you know, phase. And is then kind of thinking about, okay, well, through each of these phases, like, what do I want my customers to do? You know, what do I want my customers to kind of to feel? You know, what are the opportunities here? What are the challenges here? You know, and then what are the channels do I have in order to kind of, you know, to execute the kind of the plan to achieve that? And, you know, fundamentally, the what you want your customers to do become your KPIs. Like, that's what you're measuring. You know, what you want your customers to think is around, okay, well, how am I creating content that is really, you know, kind of proactively answering and addressing kind of maybe questions or challenges that these customers might have? And, you know, as you think about someone kind of going through that journey from that engagement, they've never heard about you. Like, what's the most important thing about you that you want to express? You know, that's a very different, you know, messaging than consideration. You know, someone's already bought into maybe kind of like, I like that, you know, but why am I then going to buy this over something else? It's, you know, what are the challenges that maybe someone's thinking about? You know, is it around, you know, materials? Is it about craftsmanship? Is it about our kind of focus on sustainability? Is it about our kind of focus on, you know, kind of our employees? Is it about style? You know, for us, it's all about customers getting noticed for the right reasons. It's not about being that kind of fun sock guy. You know, so I think it's just really kind of trying to understand, you know, your customers. And, you know, I think that there's always, you know, kind of, I guess, profiles that, you know, people talk about, but it's really trying to get into the psyche of those profiles and making sure that, you know, when you're creating that sales funnel, that customer journey, you know, you're really kind of thinking about how you can optimize that, you know, kind of across those different areas through the different stages.
So you're doing all that in-house, or do you have outside agencies that help you with better understanding your customers and the customer journey, or does your marketing team manage all that in-house?
So a bit of both. It's managed in-house, but we do pull in a bit of support from some third parties. So, you know, in terms of kind of customers, like we're doing some stuff with Experian, which is brilliant, just in terms of, you know, they can create your mosaics just through all the kind of access to the data. That's really useful. That really kind of helps us kind of better understand our customers, as well as obviously, like, you know, Google Analytics and other in-house kind of data tools that we use. But then we also have, you know, we work with a kind of, you know, an agency for our PPC, for example, for Google. We work with a brilliant agency, Verkir, actually, for SEO, for search engine optimization. So there's different pieces, but in terms of like owning the customer journey, and effectively being the conductor of the orchestra, it's very much us in-house, because, you know, I think that knowledge and experience and really kind of owning that and understanding that is really important. And if you kind of have agencies just managing everything, you don't really kind of understand as a brand, you know, why things are working, and effectively you're paying someone else for that education. So I'm very kind of pro, you know, kind of build the team in-house, you know, bring in some expertise to potentially provide some coaching and some, you know, some experienced leadership, you know, on a consultancy basis, but really kind of arm, you know, kind of your team to kind of start to build that out themselves.
That's a really interesting point. And two things off the back of that. Let's start with the internal resources. But, you know, one of the main challenges that I see for businesses that are funded, you know, they've got their funding and they're wanting to grow, is getting the right marketing team in place initially. And you've sort of said how critical that is to have that resource internally. Yes, you're going to use specialist agencies, or you might bring people in to help. How do you go about hiring the right marketing team? And I suppose especially so if you're not an amazing marketer yourself, you know, if that's the skill that you don't have, and as a founder, how would, you know, what advice would you give founders around that? Because it seems to be critical to get right.
Yeah, I think first of all, like, marketing is a big area. Like, you're unlikely to really be trying to find someone to do marketing. Like, it's kind of thinking about performance marketing, or is it thinking about, you know, kind of brand marketing? Because the two are quite different. For us, like, when we were kind of hiring someone to focus on performance, because we'd been on that journey of kind of working with a few agencies, and it had just been a bit frustrated, felt like we'd learned, you know, more from them, and were kind of frustrated to not be progressing further. We actually hired a maths and physics grad because at the end of the day, like, performance marketing is all data, it's maths, it's, you need someone who just loves getting their head into numbers, into problems and trying to solve them. You know, fortunately, the guy that we brought in, who's brilliant, he also had a bit of a side kind of passion in kind of film studies as well. So he did have that kind of creative element, although that wasn't necessarily essential. And then we brought someone in, you know, initially working with him 5 days a week, you know, kind of, who was just really kind of working with him on the right, how to effectively kind of be an amazing performance marketeer. And they were with him 5 days a week. And then we kind of, you know, start to ramp that down to 4 days a week, 3 days a week, 2 days a week, 1 day a week. And over, you know, a 6 month period, you know, we had someone in house that really kind of understood what they were trying to do. And they had the ambition and the right skill set, you know, to be able to start, you know, kind of doing that for themselves on that journey. And I think it's just about the individual, and it's about finding practitioners, you know, people that are prepared just to roll their sleeves up and just want to get stuck in. And, you know, there's two types of, you know, kind of hires. Typically, you've got your practitioners that just want to roll their sleeves up and get stuff done. And then you've got your theorists who, you know, kind of like may have experience, but unless they've got a lot of budget or, you know, kind of teams underneath them, you know, kind of, you know, they're not going to achieve the same kind of result. So, you know, they're both totally kind of valid for different points in a business's, you know, kind of journey. But I think for early stage businesses, it's about, you know, trying to bring in people that are kind of really kind of eager to learn and surround them with experience and support.
It's really interesting you say that, actually, because we had a media agency like 15 years ago, and we used to hire loads of grads who'd done like masters in like maths or, you know, something similar. And like you said, they just loved numbers and spreadsheets and slicing and dicing data. And you know, obviously we had the experience in the media planning buying, so we trained them up. So it's really interesting that you've gone down that route and that you then decided to hire an expert to come in and train them. I think that's really, really, really great idea. And so talk to me about the other side, which is the agencies. You know, I used to run an agency, so I know what it's like, but I've also worked with clients who've had some of them have had a nightmare with some of their agencies and wasted huge amounts of money. You know, I've come in and audited a few accounts, which, you know, it's just, I've seen so many issues with agencies. It's not always the agency. Sometimes it might be the client has chosen the wrong agency for their needs, or, you know, they're paying the wrong fees. Or what's your experience with, so you are using agencies, but you manage them via your internal team. But, you know, what would you say as well about finding a good agency? How do you go about that? Because you alluded to the fact you'd had a bit of a difficult time in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. I mean, I'm sure as most people who are kind of, you know, most founders out there, that we get bombarded by emails and LinkedIn messages all the time from agencies kind of, you know, trying to kind of get in touch and, you know, tell us how kind of brilliant they are. I'm sure a lot of them are, but, you know, we typically kind of go through recommendations. Or actually there's an agency that we're working with that we've been working with called Wax On, just on the brand side. It was basically because one of their partners was one of our customers. And someone in the team was actually at an event that he was on a panel for, and they saw him wearing the socks, and somehow he started talking about London Sock Company. And then the team went up to him and said, oh, like, we're from London Sock Company. And so quite organically. But I think, I don't know, I think it comes down to a kind of alignment of expectations. And that's usually where relationships collapse, you know, regardless of whether it's an agency, whether it's an employee or whatever. It's where kind of, you know, someone's expecting something, you know, kind of, and the other one's expecting something. And I think it's really just about aligning objectives, you know, at the start. And, you know, we've really been focusing hard on frameworks, you know, within the business, especially over the last kind of, you know, 6 to 12 months. And there's a lot of stuff in my head and in, you know, Dave, my co-founder's head. And a lot of it is instinctual after doing this for 7 years. And, you know, kind of, you just get a bit of a kind of a feeling about something. And it's very difficult sometimes to translate that to people that are either just about to start working for you, who already are working for you, or even harder if you're just an agency that's working for you on a freelance basis. So I think it's, you know, we've spent a lot of time just really kind of putting that onto a piece of paper, you know, for different parts of the business, which means that, right, you're looking at a framework and you're understanding, you know, exactly what our expectations are in terms of, you know, the purpose in terms of the different considerations, you know, how everything needs to kind of align together and the output, you know, in terms of objectives and targets. And, you know, before going into anything, you know, I think that's so important, you know, otherwise, you know, you're just likely to be disappointed.
Exactly. I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's about briefing agencies properly and making sure that everyone's aligned. Ryan, that was a very quick 20 minutes. We keep these short and sweet. So going to finish there. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about all those really interesting topics, which I know are of massive interest to lots of people. And thank you also for, you often come onto Clubhouse. So if you ever want to see Ryan, he often hops into our Clubhouse room. So thank you very much, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.